right. Good morning, Christ Church. You're out there, right? All right. Good morning. It is great to be with you in-house this morning, or those joining us online. We are really glad that you're with us this morning as we continue in our series, Salt and Light. And Pastor Andrew kind of led us off last week with helping us kind of get located, what this is all about. And this comes out of the Gospel of Matthew. Remember, the Gospels are those accounts of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, firsthand accounts of his ministry and his experience, and it gets passed on to us. And in the Gospel of Matthew, there's something called the Sermon on the Mount. It's a big section in Matthew of teaching where Jesus just pours it out for our benefit. And the beginning of that section is something we call the Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes are a series of statements, teachings that Jesus makes. And he says in each one of those statements, this is how you live a blessed life, right? Anybody here want to be blessed? Okay, two hands are up. Come on. You bet, man, I'm all in. The guys at home are going, yeah. You bet we want to be blessed, right? And so he kind of lays out and says, look, this is the character of the person who follows me, right? This is how life gets changed and how blessing just gets poured onto you. Now, but these are challenging statements because these statements bring us into conflict with the world. For instance, blessed are the poor in spirit, or blessed are those who know they need to God, right? Or blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for doing right. You see, that's going to bring us in conflict with a world that is broken and decaying. And he highlights that by the time he gets to the end of the Beatitudes by just saying, listen, God blesses you, Christ followers. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all kinds of evil things against you because you are my followers. What's he highlighting? Hey, if you're going to be his and you're going to experience that change of life in terms of who you are and the experience, what it means to be a blessed person in this world, it's going to bring you in conflict with this world, and that means you are going to have problems. You're going to have problems. But as Pastor Andrew lifted up last week for us, well done, that problems are dangerous because they can stop defining this situation and start defining the person. And where he ended was leading us to an awareness that said that's not true for Christ followers because Christ defines who we are. Jesus says who we are. And that leads us to our statements. You are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world. Those two statements are called the similitudes. So follow me now. Those are called the similitudes. And before them, you got the Beatitudes. How cool is that? Got all your tudes in order. Isn't that great? Beatitudes, similitudes. I don't know who came up with that, but I thought it was kind of fun. Anyway, and so we got the similitudes, and it's about understanding that when he says this, he is defining who you are. He says, you are the salt of the earth. He's saying, listen, this is who you are. It's not what you do, right? It may lead to what you do, but first and foremost, it starts with recreating the character of who you are, of recreating the image of who you are. And he says, listen, this is who you are. Let me give you some similar examples, right? Some similar references that you can hopefully understand and grab onto and help you understand this is now who you are in Christ. You have been changed. And in Christ, in this blessed life that's going to bring you in conflict with the world, when you face these problems, you need to remember, listen, this is who you are. You are the salt of the earth. Now, we see that played out in Scripture. We get one experience where the Apostle Paul is speaking, and he's talking about that kind of character change in life. And he's doing it within the relationship of slaves and masters, right? Don't misunderstand. He's obviously not condoning slavery. He is just simply talking about this relationship that existed in his world. It was common in his world. And he's saying to the slave, listen, You are in Christ, and you are a changed person. You are different now. So slaves, you must always obey your masters, do the best to please them. They must not talk back or steal, but must show themselves to be what? Entirely trustworthy and good. That's a character thing, right? That's who they are. They have been changed now. They're not simply slaves anymore. They are Christ followers. And as Christ followers, who they are has been transformed. And who they are then, this transformed person, leads to how they behave. You see that? They're going to behave different now. They're going to behave different because God has made them different. And he says, then they will make the teachings about God our Savior attractive in every way. So he says to you, listen, you got to understand today, if you are a Christ follower, you've gone through this transformation. And if you want to experience this blessed life and live out this blessed life, then you need to understand you are a new person and a different person in Christ, and you are the salt of the earth. Okay, hold back your excitement. Right? Don't know. Yeah, I'm salt, baby. Yo-ho! Anybody feeling that? Right. I mean, that's not one of those things we kind of go, okay, thanks, Jesus. I'm salt. What, 69 cents at Meijer, you know? What's up with salt? Why this? Why this similitude? Well, okay, keep in mind, in Jesus' day, salt was a whole lot different in terms of its value, worth, and context than what it is for us. Salt, in his day, did some very important things. Now, salt still does important things in our day, right? You can't live without this stuff. In Jesus' day, one of the things that was predominant about what salt did in its character was salt preserved, right? They didn't have GE, Frigidaire, you know, Whirlpool, and all those things called refrigeration and ice boxes. And so the only way they could preserve food was to just cover it, rub it up in salt. So the salt was a preservative. Now, think this through. Jesus says, you are. This is who you are, Christ follower. You are the salt of the earth. What does that mean? You are the preservative of this world. That's who you are. As a Christ follower, you are the one who preserves this world. God sustains this world because of you. I mean, can we agree that our world is a broken and decaying place? Look around. We got fires burning up the West Coast. We got a hurricane, you know, coming up from down south. We got cities that are in turmoil and riots. We got police officers sitting in a squad car and being shot. Our world is pretty broken, and it is decaying. And yet God sustains our world. Why? He sustains this world because of you. Because you are the salt. You are the influence in the world that gives the world hope. Now let me prove this to you. The same similar kind of experience from the Old Testament. It's when God was looking at two cities called Sodom and Gomorrah. Ever heard of them? Yeah, it's like Las Vegas on steroids, right? Okay, these were really broken, dark, bad places, right? You want to do anything, go there, right? And God sent messengers to check out Sodom and Gomorrah, and it was pretty clear that the result was going to be time to wipe those places out. And so God is having a discussion with one of his followers, Abraham. And Abraham gets concerned, and he starts questioning God, and he starts saying, listen, what God, what if there's some of your faithful people there? What if you find 50 faithful people there? Would you still destroy it? And he keeps on this conversation, and he keeps whittling it down until finally Abraham gets to God, and he says, listen, Lord, don't be angry with me if I speak up one more time, but suppose you find only 10 of your faithful people, will you still destroy it? And God says, then I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. You are the salt of this earth, because you are the transformed hope and character that brings Jesus into the world. You're the hope. You're the salt. God sustains this world because he looks at the opportunity you have to be who he says you are and bring the opportunity for another life to get changed through Jesus. You are the salt in this earth, and you preserve the possibility of this earth. Okay, what else does salt do? Well, salt purifies, right? Salt purifies. Anybody got a water softener in their basement? Don't you love it? Right? Because every so often, what do you have to do? You have to haul in an 80-pound bag. I prefer the 40-pound bags myself at this point in my life. But you got to haul in some kind of pound bag, right? Full of salt, dump it in the tank. Why? Because salt softens and salt purifies. But we even see this back in the Old Testament as God was instructing around worship and getting even the incense ready for the worship experience. He says, using the usual techniques of the incense maker, blend the spices together and sprinkle them with salt to produce a pure and holy incense. You see, you in your character display the reality of God being able to take something that is broken and impure and make it something holy, set apart, and pure, forgiven. You see, that's what Jesus has done for us, right? He has taken we who are sinners, and he has declared us absolutely forgiven through his work on the cross. And through his resurrection from the grave, he has opened the possibility for us to be salt, to be an example of that very thing of taking something that is impure and turning it into something that is pure and holy and infectious in the world. We get that example even with the Apostle Paul, right? He kind of nails it. He says, this is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all. Amen? Anybody want to sign up for that one? Trustworthy statement for me. And my life is the example of God taking something that is impure and broken, forgiving it, and creating the possibility of something pure, holy, and a blessed life. Paul says, but God had mercy on me. True statement. And through his mercy, we become the example of that purity and that holiness to the world. Our lives, because of who we are, become salt. That is, we show people, we are the example before this world of how life is different and changes when Jesus invades. How life is different and changes when we accept and receive forgiveness in Christ. How life is indeed different and set apart and holy when we simply follow his statements of blessing. Paul says, then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. We are the example. We're salt in this earth. We're the example of that possibility for everybody else in this world who's living in their brokenness. He says, we are set apart. Peter says, you are not like that. You are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are God's very own possession. And as a result, you can show others the goodness of God. You are the salt of the earth. You have the possibility, as you live out your nature in Christ, to influence others to a new life of holiness in his word and in his name, to experience the joy of forgiveness. Now, how's that happen? Well, it's about being salt, because we know salt seasons. Anybody put salt on their food? Yeah. How many of you put salt on your food before you even taste it? Be honest. Yeah, sure. Some people, I personally don't get that. Why would you do that before you? But it's up to you. I'm not judging, okay? But the reality is, sure, we put salt on there because we think, you know, we understand salt is a seasoning and it brings out a flavor, right? Well, that's us in this broken world, in this decaying world. We preserve this world. We influence this world to purity and forgiveness and a whole new opportunity of life. And we do that by seasoning this world. Now, there's a great piece of scripture to help us understand what that looks like and how we actually live out our nature of being salt. Paul says this in Colossians. Live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. So let me just take the opportunity. If you're not a believer today, that's okay. But I want you to know Jesus can change your life. And if you're carrying some guilt, some shame, some burden, he is the way and the truth and the answer to be able to forgive that and have your life changed. And you can have your life transformed from what it is today to a life that is incredibly blessed. And he can do more in your life than you think or you imagine. Just want to take the opportunity. He says, take the most, make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you'll have the right response for everyone, right? First of all, notice what word did he lead with? Grace. We start there, right? We start with grace as we speak into each other, into other people, the non-believers' life, and we do it in an attractive way. Notice the footnote, right? Don't forget footnotes. Seasoned with salt. Now here's the challenge. A lot of times believers approach unbelievers and they forget this word first, and all they do is they bring the salt. And they start talking to people about Jesus and they say, you know what, your life is pretty screwed up and you got to get right because you're doing this wrong and you're doing that wrong. And by the way, that is just outright sin there. And you just are absolutely, you should feel bad, guilty, and ashamed of the way you're living. You know what that's doing? That's putting salt in the wound, right? That's just pouring it on and pouring it on, right? Anybody want that? There's no grace in there. No, that's not what Paul says. Paul says that we lead with grace, and then what? We salt, we season with a little attraction. We salt and we season with a little salt. We don't throw the whole thing. We don't dump it all on. We don't pour it all out. We just season a little bit, right? We just season a little bit. When you're having that conversation with somebody, you don't need to convince them of their guilt. They already know it. What you got to do is lead with grace and give them the opportunity of hope. And so you speak into their life, but you speak in every opportunity, in whatever way God gives you, and you just spread a little seasoning in there, spread a little salt in there that says, listen, my life's been changed. Your life can be changed too. It's incredible. It's awesome. Now I want to get real practical about that. Because at Christ Church, we are real practical and relevant, we hope. And we want to give you every opportunity not only to understand the principle, but to put that principle into action. And so last week, Pastor Andrew talked to you about this book, My Dog Named Hope, right? And we talked to the author of this book, and we were able to acquire 100 copies of this book, right? And so we have them out in the atrium for you, free, for you to take home. No, you don't get all 100 copies for one person. Take one per household if you would, right? But we want you to take this book. Why? Well, it's a good book, and it talks about hope. But I got to tell you, Jesus' name is not on every page. In fact, I'm not sure his name is on any page. But hope is. And you're the salt of the earth. And you ought to know about hope. And so you take this home and you read it to your neighbor kids, and you read this book to other friends of yours and their kids, and you have this book laying around your house, and you go ahead and start just talking about hope. And then you season a little bit. And you say, my real hope, I really found hope in Jesus when he changed my life. And you have another conversation later on, and you say, hey, maybe you remember that book we read. Boy, I got to tell you, I just remember that, and man, I have such hope in my life that my life is so blessed right now because Jesus made me new and different and forgave me. You see how that works? You season a little bit. You take advantage of every opportunity, and you just sprinkle a little salt, and you season a little bit. Because you are the salt of the earth. And that means you are incredibly valuable. You have to understand, you are so valuable to the cause of Christ in healing and changing this world. Jesus gives us a little warning in his experience here about salt, right? Not only the declarative that we are salt of the earth, which the Latin word for salt, by the way, is solus. Roman soldiers, so you know, they were actually at one time paid with salt. They'd get a satchel of salt, and that was their pay. That's the word here. It's the word we ultimately get our word salary from. Not celery, but salary, what you get paid, right? We have an old phrase. Maybe some of you remember the old phrase. We talk about somebody, and we say, man, that guy or that gal, man, they are worth their salt, right? Remember that? Man, they are great. They're awesome. They are worth their salt, right? It's a statement of value. Jesus is telling us when he says, you're the salt of the earth, you are so incredibly valued. Don't be foolish to miss the opportunity in understanding your importance and your value in this world for my cause. He says, listen, you're the salt of the earth. But what is good as salt if it's lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It'll be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. And this phrase, lost in flavor, is so interesting. The Greek is the word moreno. And in English, that translates, and we get our word moron. What is he telling you? Christ follower, you'd be a moron. This would be just so foolish if you don't understand how incredibly important and valuable you are. Because you are the preservative of this earth. You are the influencer towards holiness, forgiveness, and grace in this broken world. You are the one that brings seasoning and the opportunity for other people's lives to be changed in Jesus. And it can come down to the simplest of words and the way you use your tongue. James says, if you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you're fooling yourself, moron. Fooling yourself, and your religion is, what's the word? Worthless. You are incredibly valuable and important in this world because you are the preservative. You're the influence towards holiness and forgiveness and new life. You are the one that has the opportunity to season other people's lives every single day to give them hope and an opportunity for that blessedness that Jesus just talked about in those Beatitudes. Now, how do I know all that's true? Well, ultimately, Jesus is your saltiness. It is the invasion of Jesus into us, into our lives. It is the salt that makes us the worth that we have. And all we do in our everyday is bring that in for ourselves and let that flow beyond ourselves. Just let the saltiness, let Jesus get out of our lives. Get him out into the lives of others. Jesus said, listen, here's the way it works. All who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each one of them. It's going to be easy? Going to be without problems? Absolutely not. In fact, it's going to put you in situations of conflict with this world. Expect it. Anticipate it. It is the way it is, but it is the opportunity. Here's what it says. For everyone will be tested with fire. Notice the footnote. Everyone will be tested with the saltiness of the fire. You see, this is our opportunity to be what God has called us to be what Jesus has called us to be. Christ Church, we got to be this. This world is desperate. This whole corridor up here on the North Shore, it is desperate for us to be the salt. To be the salt in these communities up here. To offer people the opportunity to be influenced to holiness, to season their lives with the opportunity for forgiveness and give them a hope that they can actually live and experience a blessed, fulfilling, and overwhelming life. And so Jesus says to you, Christ follower, and to us, Christ Church, you must have the qualities of salt among yourselves and live in peace with each other. Listen, you are the salt of the earth. And the world desperately needs you because you are so valuable, because you bring the opportunity for new life in Christ. Let's pray. Father, thanks. Thanks for the grace you have given us. And we just pray that we would grab hold this morning of our new identity in Christ. That we would just take hold of what it means to be that in the world. To know how important it is, how valuable it is. To know that we are the preservative for this world, and that we have that influence that can bring new life and forgiveness and holiness. That we have the opportunity to point folks to blessedness. And that we can just season their lives. Season their lives with what we know to be true in our own lives. And so we ask, encourage us this day to just be that salt. To be that salt in who we are. And that it would overflow in just others seeing and knowing the presence of Jesus. It's in His name we pray. Amen.